now time for an audio boo by All One Word.
Hello, everybody. Let's go. This is a German band called Garden of Delight.
A valley of pain, cause you lost your love, you lost your name, so you're standing now.
How's everybody doing? This is the full audio boo of my trip up to Scotland and everything in between.
Like a gun in the hand of a child, you feel misplaced in this world, so you raise your hand and you cry like an angel.
Recorded on the Boss Jock Studio app. Oh yeah.
And you cry like an angel in the dark, like a banshee of
a... So whilst we didn't go onto the continent whatsoever, I just like this song. So we've had a truly great time away, although we've done quite a lot of miles since the 1st of August up until when we got home last night. I've done 2,553 miles.
It's so far away, like you ain't got wings, so you start to pray and you wish you could die.
Total cost of fuel since leaving on Friday the 9th up until when we got back, £210 on diesel.
Like a banshee of the night. Like an angel in the dark, like a banshee of the night.
So we left on Friday the 9th. We left the very second that my wife, I don't want to say got rid, but when the last childminding kid was picked up about 6:30, we left the house just after 7:00, and that's in the PM on the Friday.
I'm still inside your soul, driving you insane, till the day.
Then I had to go and drop a check off. Then Tamara forgot her iPod Nano, had a meltdown. So we actually hit the road at 7:45 was the time that we hit the A303, I think it was. 7:45, yeah. One, two, three, go!
Like an angel in the dark, like a banshee of the night. And you cry like an angel in the dark.
Traffic was easy. A303, A34 north to Newbury, M40, M43. Waved at Daylight Gambler on the way past. Did you see us, Phil? We were waving, had the windows open and everything. Even slowed down a bit.
Like a banshee of the night.
Da-da, 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 da-da. Hello! Welcome to the Ricky Hubbock Show. Yeah, so recording this with iPhone 4S. Shout outs to at Daylight Gambler, at Pilgrim Chris, at Turbo Stream. Who else am I missing? MJ Podcasts, if you're listening, hello. Recording via the very mighty Bostock Studio app. Yeah, so awesome journey until we hit Barnsley. What happened then? Well, that's when the world fell apart. Because you see, three lanes of the M1 went down to one lane. Could people organise themselves? No. Additionally, what was that amount of traffic doing on the M1 that time of night? I wasn't happy, I tell you that right now. So we were stood still, and I tweeted this out at the time, for an hour. We were stood still at midnight on the M1 in a ton of traffic. Tailbacks probably a mile ahead of us and about 7 or 8 miles behind us, I think they said. And it was infuriating. Fortunately, the children were asleep. Well, except for Tamara, she didn't fall asleep. But Harry, little Harry, bless his little white cotton socks, their little boy. Harry fell asleep straight away. Once we hit the A303, boom, out like a light. So that was good. Jessica on and off, mostly off. But tomorrow I wanted to stay in on the action. We got to Grandma, G-Ma, as we call her. We got to Sarah's mother's house in Ripon at 1:30, it was. And she lives in a beautiful Victorian flat in Ripon. I love the place. I'd have it. Not big enough for us five, but definitely maybe... mummy, daddy, plus one child, or mummy, daddy, in fact, no, husband and wife, mummy, daddy, and no children, what's that about? Yeah, we were up the next day. Next day was going to be an easy day. So, first things first, a lot of you are probably questioning why we spent so much time, why we left at that time of night and travelled late with our little children. They would be tired. Well, easy. We didn't want to travel on a Saturday where we knew there'd be more traffic, no matter how early we got up and left. So, we decided to go on the Friday night. That meant we would have all day Saturday, have an easy day, and have another full day on Sunday. And we'd planned to go to York on the Sunday to go to the National Railway Museum so Harry could go and see some real life Mahusive trains, predominantly steam trains, of course. And so easy day on Saturday, yeah, got up. Oh, we didn't, nobody kind of laid in really. Got up. Nice easy walk around Ripon, which is a beautiful market town, by the way. Visited a few shops. Fairly early night, really, on the Saturday night. Off into York on Sunday. And spent a good few hours around the National Railway Museum. Come here. Hang on a sec. Yeah, so... you had some fantastic steam locomotives on display there. The four original British-built, what were classed as back then as high-speed steam trains. The Mallard, of course, setting the record at 126 miles per hour. Then you had the Dwight D. Eisenhower, the Dominion of Canada, and what was the other one called? The Bittern. They were all British built, but they were sold off more or less straight away, really, to foreign countries, Canada, USA. I don't know where the Bittern went, though. But nonetheless, they'd all been renamed and they are all back in the UK, bearing their foreign names. They were all given British names, but they were renamed when they went to their countries, wherever they went to. And after the Railway Museum, we got on a little road train, a Ford 2-litre diesel powered, it's actually purpose built train, train looking thing, and it's a 5-minute ride, drops you off at York Minster, and we had a doss about York, brought back memories. Sarah went to university in York, you see, and as I've mentioned in a previous audio boo, fairly recently actually, it's her favourite place in the world, and somewhere where we'd like to settle down actually. And yeah, so we had a look around York, and then we'd seen it anyway, the Wheel of York. Oh yes. So the Wheel of York was leaving York, or is leaving York, at the end of September, and it's like the London Eye except half the size, but we went on it. It was 20 quid for all of us, to be fair. We took my niece that day as well. She was staying over with grandma, and hang on a minute, Malt.
Wait.
Car. Was that binaural? Did it go right to left there? It was going right to left in front of me. Yeah, so it was 20 quid. Went around 4 times. It was really good. I did an audio boo entitled York, and or was it Fudge? When I did an audio boo when I was in York, and did a bit of the recording whilst we were in the capsule, as they called it. Oh, it went plenty high enough, all right. So while I'm talking, I'll put on a bit of music. Here we go. This is one of the theme tunes to Pirates of the Caribbean. This one's entitled Jack Sparrow, that you can hear in the background now. It'll get a bit louder. Right, yeah, so. And the next day we went up to my parents in Hexham, had a good look around Hexham. The day that we arrived, the day after that, we went... we didn't really know what we were going to do. We were going to go to Lindisfarne, which is Holy Island, up on the north Northumberland coast. And we thought that an hour and three quarters there, just to go and look at some ruins, is a bit much, seeing as we've already driven quite a distance. So we... oh no. Right, so my dog has just rolled in fecal matter. Awesome. Awesome. Spoilt the moment, Molly. Oh, quality. So we didn't go to Lindisfarne, but we went looking at Roman things. Roman ruins. So we went over the top, as I call it, from Hexham to Haydon Bridge. Haydon Bridge, we headed north and stopped at a place called Steel Rig. got out of the car and it was pay and display. Oh, it's £4. And we were like, my God, how dare they charge £4? That's ridiculous. So we went somewhere else. To the Northumberland National Park Visitor Centre. Then we didn't stop there. We went down to Vindolanda, which is not run by English Heritage. And, oh God. it was going to cost us like 30 quid to go and look at some ruins. So we came away from there and went to back up to Steel Rig, where Sarah had said, you and Tamara can walk from Steel Rig to Housesteads, which is only just a smid, it's about 3 miles. But my God, there's three or four bits that are virtually vertical. They're not, for anybody who walks regularly, it's not difficult. So my dad, Sarah, Tamara and Harry went on the road to Housesteads, and actually when you park in the car park at Housesteads Roman Fort, there's a decent walk of about half a mile to get up to the fort. English Heritage have put some, I don't want to call it gravel, it's bits of gravel and crushed, it's like crushed loose tarmac. You know, if like you crush an Oreo biscuit loosely, it's like that. So you get crummy bits and big bits. It was awful to walk on. And as we met them, I'll flash forward. As we met them, I see my dad hasn't put his walking boots on, he's got his leather brogues on. So what are you doing wearing them? He says, I know, I felt every little flipping thing. But it was a good walk along. I've done that a few times, and coming to the end of the walk, at if you ever go to Housesteads Roman Fort on the Roman Wall, there's a copse actually on the wall. The wall goes through this copse. So we were on the west side, where we had seen from about a kilometre away two kids playing football over the Roman Wall. I thought, that's a bit disrespectful, because you're not allowed to walk on the room wall anymore. And as we got closer, you had a group of two or three men come from the opposite direction to where these people were. And at the same time, I noticed that we had these two kids, one in an England football suit, football strip, and the one on the north side of the wall was in a Scotland football strip. And they were young lads, only maybe 13, 14 years old. And there was two adults there, and they had Haltwhistle United Football Club tops on. Jackets, sorry, not tops. So the Haltwhistle is, I don't know, 7 or 8 miles from Hayden Bridge in the westerly direction. And I said to the guys in the who were obviously like a coaches wearing these long jackets, I said, pointing at these two guys with this thick contraption in the hand, I said, oh, some kind of scientific project. And the contraption was one of those radio controlled I don't say helicopter, you know, these ones with like four rotors, one in each corner, with a DSLR attached to the bottom, and a controlling unit, but a big computerized looking controlling unit. And he says, well, if you watch the England-Scotland game tomorrow, you'll understand why we're here. So obviously filming some kind of promo for that, and all on a DSLR for broadcast television. Good, eh? So the music in the background now is, for any 60s fans, this is Alvin Lee and his band 10 Years After at Woodstock in 1969. And this song is originally by Helicopter, and it's called I'm Going Home. Not that this is a music show, of course. So, anyway, we had a look about, once we got to Housestead's Fort, had a look around and went down to Corstoppetum, Roman Fort, which is in Corbridge, which is on the other side of Hexham. It was on the east side of Hexham. And had a good look around there. I've ridden my push bike past there from the age of 7 years old. Driven past it hundreds and hundreds of times, never been in because it was so expensive to go in. You know, my wife and I have English Heritage membership cards, and my God, they've been used to death this past week and a bit, I tell you that. Yeah, so I had a look in there, took a few pictures, and come out and came home, and it was just nice to be back in my hometown again. You know, you can. You know the feeling when you go back to your hometown. I want to say your hometown, not where you were necessarily born, but, you know, where you considered growing up. I was born in Hexham, and it's changing. The town's changing. About 5 years ago, a lot of shops were closing, and in their place came charity shops. Now, whilst I haven't got anything against charity shops, you know, you go to these towns or villages and every shop or every other shop is a charity shop. Kind of gets a bit boring, doesn't it? You want to see some other shops. But, you know, there's lots of franchises popping up in the town now. It's still a nice place. I'm saying it's still a nice place to live. My parents don't mind living there. Big Tesco's, big Waitrose, Marks and Spencer now. It's changed so much in the past maybe 10, in fact I'll go so far to say 15 years. It's been facelifted a couple of times over, and one of the things when I go back home is seeing people that I know. I didn't really see anybody I knew. I saw maybe 3 or 4 people that I knew when I was a child, and you know, there were a few undesirables who were bullies at school, or, you know, not necessarily in my year group, but I wanted to stay clear of them. Maybe a couple there that served a bit of time at Her Majesty's pleasure as well. Take your love and be about one more time. Oh, do the stomp. And so, we left. You know, the day after that, and went up to our friends who live in Edinburgh, and it was a great journey up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in two minds which way to go up, whether to go up the A68 or to go up the A1. A1 is longer, but invariably faster. You know, you'd have to go down the A69 to Newcastle, turn left on the A1 to go north, and all the way along the coast. Into the middle of Edinburgh. The A68 takes you into the middle of Edinburgh as well, but we weren't going into the middle, we were going on the west side of Edinburgh. Baby. So we arrived, got all the kit out. Our friend Nicola was having her hair done, so Sarah waited for her, and then they went to pick their kids up from school. They'd gone back to school. That was the Thursday. Nicola's husband Simon, plus their youngest of 4 children, plus my 3, we went off to Edinburgh Castle. And there's an NCP car park at the foot of Edinburgh Castle that you should avoid like the plague. Unless, of course, you've got a platinum credit card. You're one of them types. Yeah. Always be wary of a car park that doesn't display its prices. And NCP car parks are notoriously expensive anyway, aren't they? Well, I mean, in big cities they are. And it was Edinburgh Fringe time, and it was also the Tattoo was still on. £6 an hour. When I put my little chip into the machine at the end to see how much I had to pay, I only had a £10 note in my pocket. I was glad I had my flipping debit card. £12. £12 for 2 hours. I nearly pooed my pants. But we got into the castle for free, so it didn't matter. We weren't in the castle long because children were tired and it was unusually humid. It was, once we walked up, I know it's a fair way from the road at the bottom to the top inside the cat in Edinburgh Castle, but it was bloody humid. We went in the Edinburgh, what do they call it, Armoury War Museum. Oh God, they need air conditioning there, let me tell you. So little Harry decided to kick off because he was tired and hungry and hot. Jessica got a bit funny as well. We didn't, so we had a good look, but we only got round that part of the castle, and then we left and went back home. Had a few beers that night. Good old chin wag.
Get home, baby. Look out, baby, I'm coming to get you one more time. Go on, hunt.
Anyway, we're on 26 of 30 minutes. So, that was up to the end of what I called phase two. Phase three, end of phase three of our epic journey. I'll catch you in the next audio boo. Keep listening if you're interested.